This is if this sounds or looks familiar to you, and you know, it'd be a miracle if it did, because but it might. This is actually a message. It's actually the same message that I preached back in October, almost a year ago, about 11 months ago. I preached this message. The title of it is "The God Who Carries Us." The God Who Carries Us. And I normally don't do this. I've only done this maybe three or four times in 28 years of ministry, where I've just been led to go back and just and get a message that I've preached before. Now, it's different if I'm going to preach somewhere else, or if I've gone to like the times I've gone to do pastors' trainings or things on the mission field. I'll get my best sermons, you know, together that I thought, well, that was a good one, that was a good one, that was a good one, and a lot of times take those. But as far as, you know, preaching to you on Sunday mornings or on Wednesdays, I always, you know, Lord, I want something fresh to give them, you know. And so I just was led by the Lord, though, to go back and pick up this message and preach it today. But it's called, again, the title is "The God Who Carries Us." And I can actually tell you, since I preached this 11 months ago, in the last 11 months, I have had to go through things and walk through things that if you had told me at the time, I would have said, there's no way I can get through that. There's no way I can go through that. But I'm here to testify to you today, there's a God who carries us. And there's a God who has carried me. Hallelujah. So I believe I can preach this with even more authority. Amen. And more conviction than I did 11 months ago. And there's going to be new things that come out, obviously, as well. But I believe it'll be a blessing to you this morning. So, Father, we thank you for your word today. And as we open our hearts, Lord, we receive your word in the name of Jesus. Thank you for the Holy Spirit teaching us and guiding us into all the truth. Lord, give me utterance to say what you would have me to say today. We thank you for the work and the ministry of the Holy Spirit that has already been present today, Father. And we continue to rely upon the Holy Spirit today to bring fresh understanding and revelation and a timely word, Lord, just what we need, just when we need it. So we trust him today to bring that forth to every heart and every life. And I pray that not one person here, not one of us would leave the same way that we came in. Thank you that we're being changed from glory to glory by the Spirit of the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So look at this with me. Isaiah 46, verse 1. It says, Bel and Nebo, the gods of Babylon, bow as they are lowered to the ground. They're being hauled away on ox carts. The poor beasts stagger under the weight. Both the idols and their owners are bowed down. The gods cannot protect the people, and the people cannot protect the gods. They go off into captivity together. That's quite an amazing scripture here. This is an account Isaiah is seeing and observing. The Lord is allowing him to observe what's happening here as Cyrus, the Persian king, has conquered Babylon. And he's watching as the conquering Persian army comes into Babylon, and the gods of Babylon, Bel and Nebo, that were in an exalted place somewhere in that city, are being taken down because of the gold and the precious elements that adorned them are valuable to the Persians. And they take those gods down. They take these idols that represented those gods. They take them down and they lower them down from their lofty place, and they put them on ox carts to haul them away. And so they're laying on these ox carts, and the oxen, he's watching as the oxen stumble under the load and the burden that these huge stone idols, they're probably stone idols, that these huge idols are, they're so heavy that they're causing the oxen to stumble under the weight. And he's observing here that the idols are going off into captivity, and the people are going off into captivity, and these are obviously not any gods that can save.
That's right.
Amen.
And then the next verse, verse 3, God is giving a contrast then. He says, okay, these are the Bel and Nebo, these are the Babylonian gods, but here's what I'm like. Listen to me, descendants of Jacob, all you who remain in Israel, I have carried you since you were born. Yes, I carried you before you were born. God says, you don't have to carry me. I carry you. The true God, the living God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, is a God who carries us. We don't have to carry Him. A lot of times you see, and if we aren't careful, we can all fall into this. As Christians, we think that, well, we've got these burdens, and living the Christian life is such a hard thing, and it's such a burden that we have to carry this. Oh, no. No, we've got it all wrong if we approach it that way, because we have a God who carries us. Hallelujah. Amen. Verse 4, look at what it says here. He says, I will be your God throughout your lifetime. I love that. Until your hair is white with age. Well, I'm not there yet, but I'm heading that way. I made you. Listen to this. Listen to what God says to you. I made you, and I will care for you. I will carry you along and save you. Oh, glory to God. God says, I made you, and I will care for you. I will carry you along and save you. This is our God. He's a God who carries us. He's the God that made us. He said, I'll be your God throughout your lifetime. You don't outgrow God. You don't get so big. You know, little children, you know, when as parents, I mean, we raise our children, and then they get big enough, they do everything on their own anymore. We can't carry them anymore. And we're still their parents in a sense, but they've grown up, they've got their own life now and all that. But God, we never outgrow God. Amen. We never outgrow God. God says, I will carry you throughout your lifetime. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm your God throughout your lifetime. Hallelujah. Psalm 68, verse 19. I like this verse. Psalm 68, 19, out of the New Living, it says, praise the Lord. Praise God our Savior. For each day He carries us in His arms. Each day He carries us in His arms. Hallelujah. God carries us in His arms. How often? What about tomorrow? Tomorrow's Monday. Well, it is Labor Day, so it's like, let's fast forward to the next Monday. I mean, that'll just be a normal Monday. All right, maybe on Sunday God carries us. No, each day. That's Psalm 68, 19 of the New Living. Praise the Lord, praise God our Savior. For each day He carries us in His arms. Look at this scripture, Psalm 55, 22. This is out of the Amplified Bible. Psalm 55 and verse 22 in the Amplified Bible. Look at what this says. I love this. Cast your burden on the Lord. God's not putting burdens on you. Yeah. So, Pastor, didn't it say the burden of the word of the Lord? Well, the prophets, God would give them a message to speak, a message to declare, and they would sometimes they would identify it or describe it that way. But God wants us to put our burdens on Him. He says, cast your burden on the Lord. Look at this. Releasing the weight of it. Cast your burden on the Lord, releasing the weight of it, and He will sustain you. Praise God. Aren't you glad for that? Amen. Hallelujah. He will sustain you. He will never allow the consistently righteous to be moved, made to slip, fall, or fail. Turn to your neighbor and say, I cannot fail. God won't allow it. I cannot fall. God won't allow it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Cast your burden on the Lord, releasing the weight of it. Release the weight of it to Him. Amen? So let's look at some things. I've identified a few things here, a few of the burdens that we tend to try to carry that God wants to carry for us. Number one is this, the burden of our sins our sicknesses, and our weaknesses. The burden of our sins, our sicknesses, and our weaknesses. God wants to carry that for you. It's too great for you to carry. It's too great for me to carry. The burden of our sins is too great for any of us to carry. You cannot carry. You cannot carry. I cannot carry the weight, the burden of my sin. We can't even move it. You and I cannot atone for our own sins. That's why Jesus came. That's why we need a Savior. Because we cannot atone for our own sins. Look at this verse. Look at Psalm 38, verse 4. Look at this. For my iniquities have gone over my head like a heavy burden. They are too heavy for me. I don't know if you've ever felt that way before in your life or not. But I can tell you, earlier this year, on February the 4th, I had an experience with God where I became so acutely aware of my sin, of my failing, that the only way I can describe it is like, and this is the way I have described it since I had that experience, it was like a ceiling collapsing on me and around me, like a storm had come through, and then the ceiling is just collapsing. And in the middle of that, it was a very profound experience that I had. In the middle of that experience, I'm crying out to God, and I'm saying, "Oh God, oh no, this is too heavy, God. This is too heavy. The guilt, the shame, the weight of this is too heavy. I can't bear it. I can't lift it." And as I said that, in my heart, I heard the words of Jesus. I heard my mighty Savior say, "Yes, but I can." And in that moment, in my heart, the weight and the shame, the guilt, the responsibility of this, again, the way I could describe it was like a ceiling crashing all around me. Jesus lifted it all up. Jesus lifted it all up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's able to lift it. My iniquities, and then later is when I found that verse, this verse that I just read, that my iniquities have gone over my head like a heavy burden. They're too heavy for me, but they're not too heavy for Him. I don't know if you've ever experienced that in your life, but it's true for each of us. Hallelujah. He can lift it. He can lift it. Look at this, Isaiah 53, verse 4. Again, this is how the Amplified. Surely, surely He has borne our griefs. Who bore it? He did. He did. Surely He has borne our griefs, sicknesses, weaknesses, and distresses. He doesn't want you bearing any of that. He doesn't want you bearing your sickness. He doesn't want you bearing your weakness. And He doesn't want you bearing your distresses. He bore our sicknesses, weaknesses, and distresses and our griefs and carried our sorrows and pains of punishment. Yet we ignorantly considered Him stricken, smitten by God, and smitten and afflicted by God as if with leprosy. Verse 5, but He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our guilt and iniquities. The chastisement needful to obtain peace and well-being for us was upon Him, and with the stripes that wounded Him, we are healed and made whole. What a mighty Savior. What a mighty Savior. He carried our sins. He removed the burden. He removed the guilt and the shame. Hallelujah. God doesn't want you living under the burden of guilt and shame for your past sins and mistakes and failings. Amen. 1 Peter 2:24, the New Living Translation. It says this, He personally carried our sins in His body on the cross so that we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. By His wounds, you are healed. He personally carried. Amen? I like that. He personally carried. I was... We have some folks that have signed on to be part of our jail ministry team, and this past week I wanted to make sure that their applications got approved, And so I personally carried them to the jail. I didn't want there to be any mix-ups here. I personally carried them in, and I said, I want to see Officer so-and-so, the guy that I knew was to process them. And so I personally carried them. I wanted to make sure it got done. Jesus said, or the Word says here, that Jesus personally carried. Why? He wanted to make sure it got done. He wanted to make sure there was no doubt. He wanted to make sure that, hey, I'm taking responsibility for this, and it's going to get done. He personally carried our sins in His body on the cross. Amen? Amen. I remember sometime back there was a lady in our church that was diagnosed with cancer. And I remember when we ministered to her, the Spirit of God spoke very clearly in my heart when we first learned of her condition, and she asked for prayer. I remember we prayed for her, and the Lord said so clearly in my spirit, I got this. I got this. And so I related that to her. And I told her, I said, God says He's got this. God says He's got this. And guess what? He had it. Yeah. Guess what? She's cancer-free today. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus obtained peace and well-being for us on the cross. Yes. With His stripes we're healed and we're made whole. Amen. Look at Isaiah 53:11. This is how the Message, still a passage talking about that work, what Jesus did for us. It says, out of that terrible travail of soul. And it was for Him. It was a terrible travail of soul. Why? Because He took my sin upon Himself. And He took your sin. He personally carried. Think about it. Think about all the sin. Think about all the failing and all the sin and all the weakness of the whole world. Of every human being, past, present, and future, God laid it all on Jesus. No one else, we can't even bear our own sin. Think about it. Think about how strong our Savior is. He took the sin of the whole world on Himself. What a Savior. What a Savior. What a Deliverer. What a Healer. Out of that terrible travail of soul, that's why He recoiled in the Garden of Eden as He prayed. He said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from Me. The physical suffering He was about to endure was bad enough, certainly being crucified. But I don't think He was recoiling from that. What He realized He was about to face was the entire sin of the world being placed on His shoulders. Out of that terrible travail of soul, He'll see that it's worth it and be glad He did it. Thank You, Jesus. Jesus looks back now and He sees us living in the freedom of forgiveness and mercy and grace that He provided that we could have no other way out except through what He did. And He looks and He says, yeah, it was worth it. He looks at each one of us and He said, yeah, You were worth it. It was worth it. It was worth it. He'll be glad He did it. Through what He experienced, my righteous one, my servant, will make many righteous ones. You know He did? Thank God we can hold our heads high today and say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Through what He did, what He experienced, my righteous one, my servant, will make many righteous ones. How? As He Himself carries the burden of their sins. He Himself carried the burden of our sins. Thank God. Thank God He did. The second burden that God wants to carry for us that He doesn't want us carrying is this. It's the burden of the oppression of the enemy. That would be any bondage. That would be any addiction. That would be any habit that we can't seem to break free from. Anything that Satan binds us with. Look at what God says here in Exodus chapter 6, verse 5. He says, and I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage, and I have remembered My covenant. Therefore, say to the children of Israel. And so today, as God told Moses to say to the children of Israel, today, as your pastor, I'm saying to you, I am the Lord. This is what the Lord is saying to you today. I'm delivering this message. I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. Egypt, the Egyptians, that was a type of bondage to sin. That was a type of bondage to the devil in any area of our life. God says, I am bringing you out from the burdens of the Egyptians. I will rescue you from their bondage, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments. I will take you as my people, and I will be your God. Well, has he done that?
Yes.
Huh? Amen. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God who brings you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. God wants you and I to know that he is the Lord our God who brings us out from the burdens of any addiction, of any bondage, and of any habit. Oh, thank God. Thank God. Hallelujah. He wants to bring us out from those. How does he do it? Isaiah 10, verse 27. It shall come to pass in that day that his burden, he's talking about the oppressor there, the enemy and the oppressor. It shall come to pass in that day that his burden, the yoke of the oppressor, of the enemy, any bondage in our lives, it's coming from the devil, not from God. Amen. That his burden will be taken away from your shoulder and his yoke will be from your neck, and the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing oil, it says. Well, the anointing oil is a type of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is here today to remove burdens and to destroy yokes off of our lives. Thank God. Thank God. Hallelujah. God wants us free, just like he brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. He removed those burdens from them, and they walked out free. God wants you and I living free from the burden of any bondage, of any habit, of any addiction. Hallelujah. Amen. God's people, we ought not to be burdened and bound by those things. Amen. Hallelujah. There's a remedy. There's a cure. God bears our burdens. Amen. And then the next one is, this is one that we all tend to fall into. The burden of worries and cares. The burden of worries and cares. And I remember Dad Hagin talking about, you know, his testimony of how he, as a young teenage boy, he was, now this is Kenneth Hagin that I'm speaking of, and for those of you that don't know who he is, he was the founder of Rhema Bible Training Center, where I went and was trained for the ministry, but he has since gone on to be with the Lord. But his testimony was he was raised, came up in a broken home, and was sickly. He almost, actually the doctors thought he was dead at birth. When he was born in 1917, he weighed less than 2 pounds. And, you know, a baby born today that weighs less than 2 pounds, that's pretty, you know, they still have a lot of very intensive care, you know, that they would have to be under for several weeks in order just to make it through that very critical time. This is 1917. And when he was born, his father had left and wasn't in the picture, and his mother gave birth, and her mother, his grandmother, was there with the doctor as she gave birth. And when he was born, they said he didn't even look human. His face was deformed, and the doctor turned to his grandmother and said, "Ms. Drake, he's dead, and he doesn't even really look human. If I were you, I'd just go out, you know, back in the garden and dig a hole and just bury him there, you know." And so she, you know, he continued working with, the doctor continued working with his with Kenneth Hagin's mother, who was at the point of death herself, giving in the childbirth process. So he was trying to save her life. They laid Kenneth Hagin over to the, hadn't even named him yet, I guess, but laid him over to the, ended up naming him after the doctor that had delivered him. But they laid him over to the side there, and so Granny, his Granny Drake, took him eventually and was headed out to the smokehouse to get a shovel out of the smokehouse to go and take and dig a hole in the garden and bury him. And she said somehow she detected a spark of life in him. And so she brought him back in and to the house, and and cleaned him up and put a little diaper on him and put a dress on him and weighed him. And he weighed just over, with all that on, he weighed just over 2 pounds. So without all that on, he was less than 2 pounds. And so it's a miracle that he survived. But he grew up and he was always sickly. But God had a plan and a purpose, a great purpose for his life. And so he became bedfast when he was 15. And he almost died on two or three occasions. And so he ended up getting saved in that process, getting born again. And then he began to read the Bible. God began to lead him to, and he read the Bible. And I remember he talked about getting to Matthew chapter 6 where Jesus said, "Don't worry." And he thought, "I'm going to try to do what the Bible says." And the Bible says not to worry, don't worry. And he said, "Dear Lord, there's no way I can do this." He said, "My family, we're world champion worriers. We worry about it, Mama and Granny. We worry about everything." He said, "There's no way I can do this." But then he learned that God doesn't want us worrying about anything. And that was one of the hallmarks of his life, you know. And to the point that one day after, of course, he was healed and then he got married and then had kids and was in the ministry. And to one day, his wife, Miss Aretha, said to him as they were going into the house, she said, "You know, Kenneth," she said, you just are so worry-free that I believe you wouldn't even worry or have a care if me and the kids just fell dead right now. He said, "Well, what would there be to worry about then?" Now, he loved his family. Don't misunderstand me. But he just learned to obey that scripture and put into practice to cast my burden on the Lord, to cast my cares on Him. And so God wants all of us to learn to do that. He wants all of us to learn to live carefree. Yeah. Amen. Amen. That scripture that we opened up with, He said, "I made you, and I will care for you." We forget that. We forget that all too often. Okay, God, you got me started here, but I got this. I can handle this now. And we don't. We don't. We end up worrying about it. We end up stressing about it. We end up getting burdened about it. Here's what he says to do. The 1 Peter 5, verse 6, "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God." You know what true humility is? True humility is not getting down saying, "Oh, God, I'm so unworthy, and I'm so no good, and I'm such a worm." No, that's not true humility. True humility is acknowledging, "God, I don't got this, but you got it."
That's right.
That's true humility. "Therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all." There's that word "all" again, Barbara. Casting how much of your care upon Him? Well, I'm going to cast 75% of it on the Lord, but I'm going to worry about this now. I can handle this. No, casting how much?
All
your care upon Him. Why? For He cares for you. The Amplified Bible says it this way: casting the whole of your care. Look at the Amplified here. Do we have the Amplified, Amy? Casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties. How many of them? All your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all, on Him. For He cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. Okay? You don't have to raise your hands on this, but some of you may have. You may have a security system in your house. And if you do, the people that monitor that security system, they care about you watchfully, but I dare say they don't care for you affectionately. They may care about you watchfully. Why? Because they're getting paid, because there's a contract, and they're getting their money. And they may care about you watchfully because it's their job. But God says, you got the best of both worlds with Him. He says, "I care about you. I care for you affectionately." He says, "I love you. I care for you affectionately. So I want to do this, and then also I care about you watchfully. I've got the power to do it. I've got the ability to do it." Casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns once and for all on Him. I don't know about you, and I've not practiced this all my life, but thank God the Lord is training me. I hope He's training all of us. But every night now, when I go to sleep, I fall asleep knowing that I'm in the care of my loving Heavenly Father. There's so many things that I could be concerned about. There's so many things that I could worry about. There's so many things I could fret about, but I say, Lord, I'm not going to worry about any of them. You love me, and You care for me, and I'm going to go to sleep, and I'm going to sleep. I'm going to say sleep like a baby, but you don't want to sleep like a baby. Somebody said, how'd you sleep last night? I slept like a baby. I was up, you know, I was up every 2 hours crying. And I was wet. So you don't want to sleep like a baby. You want to sleep better than that. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Casting all your cares. And we can do that. You can go to sleep at night and say, Father, I go to sleep. I'm casting all my care on You. You care about me. You're watching over me. Amen. Here's another big one, a burden that we try to carry. And this is the burden of religious demands. The burden of religious demands. Look at this scripture. Look at what Jesus said. We'll go straight to the New Living in this, Amy. Go straight. There we go. Luke 11, verse 46. Yes, said Jesus, what sorrow also awaits you experts in religious law. They were experts in religious law, and Jesus was rebuking them. Why? For you crush people with impossible religious demands, and you never lift a finger to ease the burden. Now, get this. The finger, it's significant that He said you never lift a finger. Because the finger represents the power and anointing of God. Jesus said this. Jesus said, I cast out demons by the finger of God. Huh? Amen. And the Bible talks about the hand of the Lord. The hand, that represents the power of God. Well, think about how much power is in the hand if in the finger of God, Jesus casts what He uses to cast out demons. Amen. Think if He got the whole hand working for you. Think about the arm of the Lord. The Bible says, to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Yeah. Woo! That's some power. Amen. Amen. But the finger, even the finger, that represents the power and the anointing of God. And He said, you crush people. He's rebuking these lawyers, experts in religious law. You crush people with impossible religious demands, but you never lift a finger to ease the burden. They were telling people, you must do this, and God requires this of you, and God wants you to do this. And there are things in the Scripture that we're commanded to observe and to do and to follow, but we can only do them with the power and by the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit and by the grace of God. God never intended us to attempt these things without that. Amen. He never intended for us to attempt to live for Him without His empowering grace, without the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. He says, you tell them the do's and the don'ts and what they should do, but you don't tell them how to access the power. You never lift a finger and tell them how to access the power and the grace. Well, I don't want to be guilty of that. I don't want to be guilty of placing impossible religious demands on you. I'm going to teach you and explain to you from the Scriptures what God requires, how we should walk with God, but I'm also going to tell you about His empowering grace. I'm also going to tell you He's a God who carries us. Hallelujah. Amen? Praise God. And so along with that, along with this thing of the religious demands, is the burden that we sometimes can easily take upon us, especially if we really are sincere in wanting to be a follower of Jesus. And that's this, that's the awareness. Now, a lot of people won't even go there in their minds. And we don't hear a lot about it today. But there's a reality, the reality of heaven and hell, and the reality that people all around us every day that we may be interacting with, they're either going to heaven or to hell. And if we don't know where they stand with the Lord, they may be going to hell. And so we need to be aware of that. We need to be aware that we are to be the light of the world and that we have a responsibility. I think about when, you know, when some famous person dies and they announce it on the news, my first thought is, did they go to heaven or did they go to hell? You know, they're celebrating them and they're on the news and they're talking about what a great person they were and all this and that. And I'm thinking, well, that's nice, but I wonder if that person is in hell right now. I'm not wishing they are. I'm certainly not hoping for that or wanting that. But just the reality, I wonder if that person knew Jesus. I wonder if that person was saved. I wonder if that person went to heaven. They may be in hell right now. We're lauding them. We're celebrating them. We're talking about, we're showing their, you know, video highlights of their life and the great things they did, while they may be in torments in hell right now. And so that can become, though, that can become a heavy burden on your life to where you think, oh, no, I got to drop everything and I got to go save the world. I know. My daughter Scarlett. Some time back, it's been a while back. We were talking about this, and it's almost like that burden was on her, heavy like that. Like, how do you deal with this? And so, what is the answer to that? Well, Jesus came to save the world. He's the Savior, not us. But on the other hand, we got to see this in balance and in perspective here. He's the Savior, but yes, He did give us a part in this work, but none of us has the full responsibility for it. Amen. We are the body of Christ, and each one of us is a member of the body. You know, my little finger can't stress because and wonder and make sure the foot's doing its job. All my little finger can do is just be the best little finger it can be. Huh? Amen. Look at, here's what Jesus said. Here's the way we're to look at this. Matthew 11:28, He says, come to me, all you who labor. Matthew 11:28, come to me. Do what? Come to me. Come to me, all you who labor. Tomorrow's Labor Day, so. All you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll put more burdens on you. I'll make you feel guilty because you're not doing enough. I know you're doing a lot right now, but there's more you should be doing. Huh? Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and what? I will give you rest. Amen. So if you're not having rest, then you're not coming to Jesus. So if in your effort to follow Jesus, you're all in turmoil, you're not doing it the right way. Amen. He said, come to me, and I'll give you rest. I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. We're to be yoked together with Him. Amen. But guess what, folks? He's the big ox. He's the big ox. All we have to do is just walk in step with Him. He's pulling the load. We just walk in step with Him. Amen. He's bearing the burden. We just get to join in the work. We just get to participate in the work. We get the joy of doing that. He's the big ox. He's pulling the load. Amen? Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you'll find what? Rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Amen? Praise God. And the final thing is this. As the body of Christ, we are called upon to bear one another's burdens. Look at Galatians 6:2. Galatians 6:2, it says, bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. So, Pastor, I thought you said that God was the one that bore our burdens. Well, guess what? We are the body of Christ. And so sometimes the way God works is that He bears our burdens through the body. And that means that we all participate in that. That means that we all that we all have a part in that, where God uses each of us to help bear one another's burdens. Amen? Hallelujah. So the Lord, working through His body, working through the church, carries our burdens. God's power, God's grace, forgiveness, healing, much of the time that comes through people, that comes through the body of Christ. Amen? And that's why we need one another. That's why we need the church. That's why we need community. That's one of the popular words now. God designed us to operate that way. He didn't design us to operate alone. We need each other. Why? Because God uses us to bear one another's burdens. Amen? Praise God. I think it was last week that I mentioned to you, I was talking to the Lord about praying for the nation, and I was saying, Lord, I know I need to be, I sense I need to be praying more for our nation and for the election and all that's going on in our nation politically. God's given me an assignment to do that, I believe, for many, many years, for more than 30 years, that's been an assignment that I know that I've had, and I've tried to be consistent to do that and to carry that out, to pray for our nation and to pray for our leaders. And so I was talking to the Lord about that, and it's like what he spoke to my heart was, it's like if there's a piece of furniture or refrigerator or something like that that needs moving, and you think, well, I guess I can probably handle this, and you think better of it. Wisdom and age has taught you to think better and to say, don't try to do that by yourself. Well, that's what the Lord, that's the thought that the Lord gave me when I was thinking about I need to be praying more for the nation and about the election and about the nation. It's like the Lord said, don't try to move that by yourself. You got the team that comes to prayer school. Focus in on it there. Zero in on it there. Because together we can move that burden. Together we can pray that through. He said, "Don't you try to handle that yourself. That's too big of a burden for you to take on yourself." Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't individually pray for the nation. Certainly we should. But I'm talking about God carries our burdens, and many times the way that burden is carried is by the body of Christ, by us carrying one another's, bearing one another's burdens. Amen? Amen? Amen. Let's look at it again. Psalm, whatever it is, that last verse, Amy, 68:19. Praise the Lord. Praise God our Savior. For each day He carries us in His arms. Stand up and let's praise Him for that. Let's stand up and praise the God who carries us. Hallelujah. Let's praise the God who carries us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You know, in our prayer school on Wednesday mornings, we always pray the Lord's Prayer, and we always pray the 23rd Psalm, usually multiple times. And it struck me a while back, the 23rd Psalm is really a prayer of casting your cares on the Lord. Really, really, the Lord's Prayer is the same way. It is as well, but certainly the 23rd Psalm is a prayer of casting your cares on the Lord. So I want you to join me, if you would, and let's pray the 23rd Psalm. And let's do what the scripture we read earlier, casting all of your care, all your anxieties, all your worry. In fact, Amy, I'm sorry, put 1 Peter 5, put that scripture up, and then we'll come back to the Lord, the 23rd Psalm. 1 Peter 5, the Amplified Version. Casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all, on Him. Now, we give altar calls for people to accept Jesus as their Savior. We give invitations for people to come and receive their healing or accept Jesus as their healer. Today, I'm giving an invitation. I'm not going to have you come to the front, but I'm giving you an invitation to right now, today, this day, September the 4th, 2016, to cast the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, and all your concerns once and for all on Him. And we're going to do this as we pray the 23rd Psalm. I was praying it the other day, driving. I always pray it as I'm driving in the mornings. I pray it multiple times. And I just was led to emphasize, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Your rod, your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my... So think about how big our God is. Think about how big and how great He is. And He's your shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. So let's pray the 23rd Psalm. And as you do this, release the weight of all your care and all your worry and all your concern to the Lord right now. Thank you, Jesus. Pray it with me. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Hallelujah. Oh, praise You, Father. Praise You, Father. Praise You, Father. We release the weight of our cares. Thank You, Jesus. 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 I had this picture earlier today as I was before church, as I was meditating on this message and this word. It's like you're underneath. You got your cares and your worries and your concerns, and you're holding them up, and you're thinking, you know, these things, if I don't hold these things up, they're going to fall. They're going to fall. This thing's going to come down. Somebody's got to hold this up. And I don't see anybody else around to hold it up. So I got to hold this thing up. And what you don't see is, like your burdens and your cares are this big, you know, broad, heavy thing that's over you, and you're holding them up. And what you don't see is that on the other side of it, on the top of it, because you can't see God physically, on the top side, He's actually holding it from the top side. And you're down here and you're holding it up. And He says, no, just release it to me. Just walk out from under it. And you go, and you walk out from under it. Did you feel that? You walk out from under it. And to your amazement, it's still being held up. And you turn around and you see, oh, He's holding it up from the top side. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. So just right now, that load you've been carrying, just say, it's going to walk out from under it. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It's still being held up. It's not going to fall. Hallelujah. He's holding it. He's holding it. Friend, He's holding. The Bible says He's upholding the whole world, the universe, by the word of His power. He's keeping the whole universe in orbit. Don't you think He can handle your life? Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Go enjoy your day and go enjoy the rest of your life. Carefree. Carefree. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. God bless you. You're dismissed.